The end of Parshas Bo describes a future day that is very, very poignant, the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, but of course is a terminus or a telos that this whole process is unfurling or pulsing towards, and that's the entry into Eretz Yisrael. So even though we celebrate Tesvav Nisan, our redemption as a people, our genesis as a people, it's a night which looks towards the return to Eretz Yisrael. According to the Chazal, the Jews actually traveled to Eretz Yisrael and Anani HaKavod, whether that's a metaphor or some sort of non-rational experience of Eretz Yisrael. Either way, it's important for Parshas Bo to conclude, even though it's not the conclusion of Yetzias Mitzrayim, but certainly to punctuate Eretz Yisrael, V'ekiv Yacha, Hashem Elokecha, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will return you to your land, enter the land with you, your children will question the role of Pesach, V'ekiv Yacha, Hashem Elokecha, Kanani, Hashem Nishbar Lecha, remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim by designating Behor. Rav Lichtenstein has a very, very intriguing discussion and application of the types of questions that people ask when they return to Israel. I recorded it last year. I'll try to include a link of that year within this year. But when the Torah describes the entry into Eretz Yisrael, so it qualifies or defines the land as Eretz Zavas Chalav U'Devash, V'haya Kiviyacha Hashem El Eretz Haknani, etc., Hashem Nishbal Levesecha Eretz Zavas Chalav U'Devash, V'avadata Havoda Zos B'Chodesh Hazeh. The list of these nations that inhabited the land, or the way in which the land is described, is a land of five nations: Kenani, Chiti, Emori, Chivi, and Yevusi. And we typically associate it as a land of seven nations. So Rashi claims that the word Kenani is a generalized description and includes many sub-ethnicities and sub-tribes. So by inserting the word Kenani with four others, essentially the Torah is encompassing the entire list of seven, which of course raises the question, why are four others mentioned if Kenani would be a generalized description of all of the inhabitants? Either way, the Ramban differs, and the Ramban directs us to a Sifri, which reinforces this point. And the gist of the Sifri in Dvarim Perek Yudches, is that although Eretz Yisrael is described as a land of seven nations, two areas and territories were not Zavas Chalav U'Devash. They didn't have the type of richness and agricultural wealth and fertility. So in Parshas Bo, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is describing Zavas Chalav U'Devash, and this is a recurring theme, it appears in Vayera as well, and it's certainly understandable that it's enticing to a people that have been enslaved and persecuted, have been starving for 200 plus years, to be encouraged and in some ways exhilarated by the notion of Zavas Chalav U'Devash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu employs that modifier twice. So, for the sake of honesty, only five areas, five regions of Eretz Yisrael, the five listed in Parshas Bo, are actually Zavas Chalav U'Devash. There are two other regions, two other nations that are part of Eretz Yisrael, but are not Zavas Chalav U'Devash. And Sifri mentions, or the Ramban mentions, a machlokas about Bikurim, whether you can bring Bikurim from lands that are not Zavas Chalav U'Devash. And Rabbi Yossi claims that Eber HaYarden would be included in that question of non-Bikurim compatible areas, because maybe Eber HaYarden, the East Bank, doesn't have the same type of fertility as the West Bank of the Jordan River, of the Yarden River. So by describing the land of five nations in Parshas Bo, the Torah is delimiting this description only to the land that has that fertility. Now, what's interesting about this is twofold. First of all, that even though in Parshas Bo it's important to entice them with Zavas Chalav U'Devash, and therefore to describe it accurately as a land of five nations or five territories of Zavas Chalav U'Devash, it's still important that Eretz Yisrael throughout the Torah is described as a land of seven territories, and the Jews are expected to engage and devote themselves to conquering all seven regions, all seven tribes, including lands that are not Zavas Chalav U'Devash. So part of the package is lands that are rich and wealthy and fertile and lush, and lands that aren't Zavas Chalav U'Devash. And in part, it's an important message that we're committed to Eretz Yisrael, even if it isn't Zavas Chalav Udvash. Our interest in Eretz Yisrael, in a broader sense, maybe in Parshas Bo, we're still slaves, we're immature, the interest has to be stoked by financial and material opportunity, but our interest in Eretz Yisrael transcends and surpasses the type of economic welfare and prosperity of Zavas Chalav Udvash, and that's built into the formula, it's built in. Eretz Yisrael is a hybrid of Zavas Chalav Udvash and lands which aren't Zavas Chalav Udvash. And Bo highlights the Zavas Chalav Udvash element, but in general, the Torah equates the two and integrates the two without describing which parts were or weren't. And that's an important message. Baruch Hashem, in 2017, we're starting to sense Eretz Yisrael is a land which is Zavas Chalav Udvash, not just in the literal sense, but in the metaphoric sense, economic welfare, military might, cultural richness, democracy. A lot of people move to Eretz Yisrael today because it's so comfortable, because life here in the last 20, 30 years has dramatically transformed. Living here in the 80s and 90s was sparse, was challenging. It's still challenging, but certainly not in the same bare bones, day-to-day, eking out a living as it used to be. So it's important now that we've segued or transitioned into the era of Zavas Chalav Udvash to remind ourselves that we're expected to inhabit Eretz Yisrael even without the Zavas Chalav Udvash, and part of us has to clue in or tap in to that ideology even in the absence of Zavas Chalav Udvash. What's also interesting is the language of the Sifri. The issue itself of lands that are fertile and lush and lands which aren't, but the Sifri's description and psukim that it assigns and the terms that it assigns to these two areas creates an entirely different strata of meaning. Sifri is commenting on a pasuk in, I believe it's in Shoftim, I don't have the pasuk in front of me, Nachla lo yilo beker v'chav. It's a pasuk which describes the fact that the Levim will not receive classic land allocation. So it's almost a double language. They won't receive a Nachla and they won't receive beker v'chav. So the Sifri's point is they won't receive land within the five nation area, nor will they receive land within the other two nation areas. So there's these regional divisions of Zavas Chalav Udvash land and non-Zavas Chalav Udvash land, and the Levim won't receive land in either. They'll be living in the scattered villages of Levim. They'll be living off of the largesse and the generosity of the host Yisraelim. But essentially, we're dividing Eretz Yisrael now metaphorically into two different descriptions. Nachala, which in this case refers to the five nation region, and Bekerev Echav, which refers to an area which isn't Nachala because it isn't as rich and lush as the land of five nations, but it's still Bekerev Echav. So if you extrapolate these two terms beyond just the regions of those that were more lush and fertile, those which were less lush, essentially there are two ways to live in Eretz Yisrael conceptually. One is to live in the Nachala, in the heartland of our heritage, of our inheritance, of our land that's biblical, of a religious identification, of historical commitment. And then there's an identity called Bekerev Echav, to live amongst your brothers and to live, even if you don't experience Nachala, just to live Bekerev Echav. And I think this opens many different horizons to the way we view Eretz Yisrael. First of all, people who affiliated themselves with Eretz Yisrael and the people of Israel but may not be called Echav. They live Bekerev Echav. So we've seen an unprecedented reality, which we're still trying to wrap our heads around and to try to find halachic devices to make sense of and to process the people that want to be in Eretz Yisrael but aren't classically Jewish, and their fathers were Jews in the former Soviet Union, but and Africans who have settled here and foreign workers and people want to be part of the Jewish nation and the Jewish state, which in the grand sense is welcome. We're not a missionarizing people, but it's reflective of the power and the sway that's messianic. We believe in the days of Mashiach, the entire world will want to become affiliated with us and surround Yerushalayim and learn from us and pilgrimage to Yerushalayim and grab literally onto our tzitzis and say, carry me to meaning, at least in the metaphoric way that Chazal interpret the Pesukim in Zechariah. So this is the first buddings of that sentiment. On the other hand, it creates halachic complexity, gerus and living together in marriage. And so, again, for those who aren't attuned to the messianic realities, it's a simple no, it's a simple halachic equation. But for those who live a national religious life, it's right at the crux of that challenge. On the one hand, to be sensitive to a broader national agenda and a messianic reality, but on the other hand, obviously, to maintain halachic integrity, which isn't always easy. but just to note that there's a reality of Bekeret Achav unfolding. I think there's something else that Bekeret Achav connotes, and that's not just living in Eretz Yisrael as a Nachala, as a land of inheritance and heritage and biblical reality, but some people just like living in Eretz Yisrael because you get to live with your family, you live with your brothers, everyone's Jewish, everyone feels that family unity, and that's much more native and latent and visceral, just to be able to feel that you're home and you're not living in shadowy, interactive moments with people that obviously are very similar to you. We're all human beings, but there's a level of commonality and fraternity that you sense here. And some people don't sense that. Some people can be so ideological and attuned to the Nachala that the Bekeret Achav element suffers. So a simple little pasuk in Parshas Bo can all of a sudden mushroom into many, many layers of how we interact with Eretz Yisrael, especially if you follow the Ramban's trail. And the Ramban, again, initially distinguished between 5 and 2, and 5 were lands that were lush and fertile, and 2 weren't. And that in and of itself is an important lesson about Eretz Yisrael. But the Sifri's language for this regional division invites metaphoric reading far beyond the geographical, terrestrial issues of where they were situated. There are two modalities, one called Nachala, and one called, by the Sifri, Keret Achav.